Hello and welcome to the Emmy Awards. I'm your host, Emmy Cardinale, and this is my podcast where I talk about what I've been watching or rewatching once a week. If this is the first episode of mine that you stumble upon and you enjoy it, please feel free to follow me wherever you listen to podcasts or subscribe to me on YouTube. Thank you so much for tuning in. I kind of lied in my last episode, but I didn't do so intentionally. I said that I was either going to start recapping The Sex Lives of College Girls Season 3 week by week. I guess I didn't technically lie. I said that most likely I was going to start recapping it week by week instead of doing a big recap all at the end. I decided against that because the episodes are so short, they're only 30 minutes approximately, that I don't feel like I have enough to talk about week by week to like really talk about a 30 minute episode for like an hour. So because of that, and because my sister started watching Bachelor Pad Season 2 and was like, Emmy, it's even better than Season 1, like it's so good, I decided to just watch Bachelor Pad Season 2 and cover that. And that way I have a little bit more control, because if I was doing week by week for The Sex Lives of College Girls, I would have to like, I would have a more hard out, if you will, or like, I don't know, since that's airing in real time, I was just going to be a little bit screwed with the timing if it like cut into The Traitors, whereas because all of Bachelor Pad Season 2 is already out, I can spread it out as needed more easily. So that's what I'm doing. This is going to be coverage on Bachelor Pad Season 2. There are 7 episodes for Season 2. So this episode is going to be 1 through 2, and then I haven't decided yet. I'll figure out if next episode I'll do 3 episodes, or if the last episode, I'm going to do 3 podcast episodes covering the season. So I haven't figured out which episode yet of the next 2 is going to cover 3, but one of them is either going to cover 2, like next week might be 3 through 5, and then it'll be 6 and 7, or it'll be 3 through 4, and then 5 through 7. So I haven't decided that yet. I'll play it by ear. This episode is going out a little bit later than I had wanted it to. Like, I was prepared to record yesterday, Saturday, but then I just, like, time got away from me, and then time got away from me today, and I've just, I don't know. At this point, my regular upload days are, like, Tuesdays at this point, so this will probably go out on Tuesday, just because I'm recording it Sunday night, and I don't anticipate staying up all night finishing editing it, so it'll probably be out Tuesday. Apologies for that. I am hoping to eventually get back to releasing on Sundays, but I don't know. Anyways, that's the update. Thank you so much for tuning in. It really does mean a lot. If you've never seen Bachelor Pad Season 1 or Season 2, honestly, you don't need to watch Season 1. It's not like a scripted show where they really impact each other. Season 1, I also feel, just from watching Season 2, and this is very true of most competitive reality TV from my experience as a consumer, there is a lot of changing of game and strategy in early seasons. And obviously Bachelor Pad only got 3 seasons, and I think it would be really fascinating and interesting, and what a different world Bachelor Nation may have been if that spinoff like lasted 10 seasons and became its own competitive reality TV show with different game strategies and different archetypes of players coming out of it and everything. Like, it would be obviously a very different viewing experience that way. But I think even like the game mechanics feel different, and it feels like people are gaming harder this season, and it's just like it's really good. You don't need to watch Season 1 to watch this one. There's only, I think, one person who is in the cast who was in last season. Gia comes back, who I love Gia. Gia comes back, and I think she's the only returnee. But let me just jump straight into my coverage. I am really loving it. It's even better than Season 1. So, okay. Crazy, crazy, crazy lineup of a cast. The first person we're introduced to is Justin, aka the wrestler from Ally's season, and he is infamous for getting caught having a girlfriend on the show, and he says that he's targeting any men from his season. I have never seen Ally's season all the way through. I've seen clips here and there. I did know of this man because it was a pretty big moment. There have been other people who, I don't know if he was the first person to get caught with a girlfriend. I think it was probably, he was probably the first one where it became like a really big storyline. But what's interesting about Justin, aka the wrestler, is I think he got fairly far into the season before that was like revealed. Most of the time that's like an early villain in modern seasons where it's like the producers obviously know this person has a relationship and it's exposed early on to make them like the scapegoat of the early episodes if they don't have a villain. Now they're all obviously was the famous, I don't know why I'm talking about it, like it was like a big scandal, but in terms of Bachelor Nation, it was a big scandal. Hannah Brown's season, which was a really, really iconic season of the franchise, she ended up with a man who only went on the show for his music career. He had a girlfriend who he like broke up, like was still like dating when they went on the show. It was a whole thing. Obviously, she ended that relationship. That season also really blew up because people really liked the runner-up. And it's not uncommon in Bachelor history for people to really like the runner-up. But Tyler Cameron is, like, I think the most followed male contestant of the Bachelor franchise ever, I'm pretty sure. And Hannah Brown, I don't know if she's the most followed woman, but she's, like, up there. I think she might be the most followed woman. But, like, huge, huge celebrities in their own right. Like, they kind of blew up to their own statuses after it was a really big. And that was kind of, I wouldn't say the end, because I think Gabby Windi, with her time on Dancing with the Stars, kind of moved up there. She's at a million, and she's doing amazing things with her podcast, and she's going to be on The Traitors. But I think there was an era in The Bachelor where going on and getting decently far would guarantee you a solid amount of followers. And that's just, like, not as common these days. Like, the people who are standouts, it's, like, more common. It's more rare than it was before. Like, I think Gabby is one of the first, like, I think she was one of the first leads to, like, break a million after a few seasons of that not happening. So, like, obviously, anyways, I don't even know why I went on the tangent. My point is that this was, like, a big Bachelor character, and he very much talks about it like he's going to play strategically. He's not there for the romance aspect at all. Jackie from Brad's second season is there. She's anxious about Michelle Money being on the season because they had some kind of beef. Michelle Money is indeed on the season. She says it's hard being known as Crazy Michelle. She's a single mom and could use the money. And she would also donate part of the money to colon cancer research because her father had colon cancer. Gia is back. She updates us on her life, which I did say that I knew that she and Wes dated a little bit. I did not know the fallout of their relationship because, honestly, most of the things, if you hear background noise, my foster kittens go crazy when I'm, like, recording. For some reason, they hate me. That's not it. I record at, like, I often record at, like, midnight or, like, 1 a.m. or just late at night because I get out of work late. And because of that, they just have a lot of energy at this time of night. But anyways, moving on. I did know that Gia and Wes dated for a little bit after the season. I did not know the fallout of their relationship because most of the things that come up when you look up Gia and Wes, or just Gia in general, are surrounding her passing, because Gia did pass away a few years after this. This aired in 2012 and she passed away in 2014. So, like, that wasn't the main thing. And I didn't dig because I didn't know she came back, but I wasn't 100% sure she wasn't going to come back. So I didn't, like, I don't know the extent of their, I didn't know the extent of their relationship, but she updates us on her life. She and Wes dated and he cheated on her. And he cheated on her with Vienna. She hates Vienna, knows that she'll be her enemy if Vienna's in the house. Now, the crazy, crazy, crazy thing about this is I mentioned the Jake and Vienna breakup of it all during my last recap, not because either were contestants, but because Jake came on to judge the Dancing with the Stars inspired date. Because he had been on Dancing with the Stars. He was one of the three judges they brought on. And I was like, and Gia said that she was a little bit nervous. Or no, it wasn't Gia, because Gia wasn't in that round. I don't remember who it was. Oh, Tenley. Tenley said that she was a little bit nervous that he was one of the judges because she had been on his season. And I was like, Tenley, you have nothing to worry about. It's not like you're Vienna. Like, Vienna and Jake have had an infamously messy, horrible breakup. It was televised. It was very uncomfortable to watch. I said all of this completely not knowing that Vienna and Jake were both going to be on this season. I had no idea when I was talking about that. I genuinely didn't know. I didn't know that either of them ever went on the franchise again. I figured Vienna had such a negative experience from it all that she would have never been on another show. And so it was genuinely, I didn't know that they were going to be on the season. And it was so funny because my sister started watching season two before I did, because I was like, I can't have it on in the background. I need to, like, watch it attentively because I need to pause to take notes and stuff like that. And so I hadn't gotten to it because most of the stuff I was watching it in the background while I was doing other things. So I was like, I haven't watched it yet. So my sister started before me, and she was catching up on my podcast episode where I was talking about Jake and Vienna. I mentioned them, and she's like, I mean, this is such funny foreshadowing. And anyways... And she did, my sister also told me that Wes and Gia had broken up because Wes had cheated on her. And she was like, I'm not going to say with who, because they talk about it on the season. And when I found out it was Vienna, I was gagged. Gia was also on Jake's season. And Vienna was not liked on Jake's season at all. Like, she was not popular amongst the women. So Gia already didn't really like her. And then Gia gets cheated on with Vienna. Crazy. Bachelor Nation has always been kind of crazy and incestuous. They need to bring this show back. I'm so serious. I don't understand what the hesitation would be. They need to bring this show back. Anyways, Vienna then gets her intro package. She's also in the season. She wasn't liked on her season. The messy breakup with Jake comes up, and she says she would have rather lost The Bachelor. The prize sucked. She knows she'll be a target. She'll have a target on her back, but she thinks she can win because she found somebody who will protect her heart. And this person is then revealed to be Casey, another member of Bachelor Nation, not Wes. The cheating with Wes came to nothing. They're not in a couple. Wes is not on this season. But it was done really well, where it seemed like, oh, is it going to be like Wes is the person? But no, she was dating a guy named Casey who was from Ali's season. He says in his ITMs that his biggest fear is that Vienna will break his heart. Vienna has heard rumors that Jake may be on Bachelor Pad. Casey hates him. Neither is excited for the prospect of Jake being on this season. But of course, because Bachelor producers love to fuck with people, and this is just objectively great television, Jake is on the season as well. He recounts the aforementioned messy breakup with Vienna and how he was not his best self and yada, 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 yada. Jake's main objective throughout this entire season, I've only watched two episodes, but it really, really feels like Jake, there's no way he thinks he's going to win. I also don't really know how much money he needs. That comes up later. You know, questions of whether he's in debt come up, but regardless of if he needed the money or not, I really think more than maybe some of the other people's motivations, I think Jake's main motivation was redemption. The last time he was on our TV screens, besides the hosting of the date, because I don't know the timeline of when his breakup with Vienna aired versus when he was, well, the main time, honestly, maybe he was still with Vienna when he recorded that episode, because I feel like they would have mentioned that he had broken up with Vienna, but maybe not. But anyways, the main thing people really remembered of Jake was this very not positive look of him when he was breaking up with Vienna, because she was like very emotional. She was crying and he like shushed her. He was like, stop interrupting me. He was very angry and he didn't seem emotional in the same way. He was emotional in the sense that he was angry, but he was not emotional in the sense where he was like distraught. Vienna seemed very, very unwell and very upset. And when he yelled, she like, you could tell she immediately got triggered. Like, I personally, I don't know anything about Vienna. I never watched his season. I don't think he is. But based off of that interview alone, he did not seem like a very good person to be in a relationship. Now, do people function differently in different relationships? This was a decade ago. Could he have changed? Of course, I'm not making moral judgments on his character. But if I had in real time watched Jake and Vienna's breakup, I would also, as a viewer, be like, I hate this Jake guy. I, as a viewer currently in 2024, do not hate this Jake guy because I'd know nothing of him and this was a decade ago. You know, do I enjoy watching him on the screen? No, he makes me kind of uncomfortable. But I like that was his main motivation. I think Vienna wants the money and wants to show that she's in a happy relationship and like prove that she's in this strong couple. I think that's more her motivation. I think Jake is purely redemption. But anyways, then Erica, the princess from Lorenzo season, is here. Lorenzo season, I think, is like an older season. Like I think maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I've never seen that season either. She is an icon. Her intro package, I was eating it up. She says her astrologer thinks she's going to win. She'll use her sex to appeal to her advantage. She would even kiss a girl. She says she won't compromise her morals, but her morals aren't that strict. I love her. What can I say? I love her. Then Graham from Deanna's season is joining as well. His exit was apparently dramatic. I've never seen that season. He's playing for the money and specifically for charity. Congrats. I have to say, maybe this is an unpopular opinion, and obviously there's no rule against when you win a game show donating some of the money to charity because it's your money, so you can do whatever you want with it. But I really do not love when some people are like, I'm playing for charity. Like, you're either all rich celebrities who are playing for charity, or you're all here because you are playing for the money. I don't like this. And obviously, I'm not saying, do I think that if I won like a good, like a life-changing amount of, if I won $250,000, do I think I would end up donating some of it? Of course I would. I don't, like, I would save a lot of it. I'd put a lot of it in the bank for a rainy day. Do I think if I had more disposable income, I would donate more than I currently do? Of course I do. So, like, I'm not saying people can't donate their money. It's just a little bit annoying to me when your whole thing is like, I'm playing for charity. It's like, okay, some people are paying because they have debt. Nothing against him, though. I know nothing of this man. Then another woman from Jake's season, Ella, she says that love didn't work out for her on The Bachelor, so she's going on Bachelor Pad solely for the money. She is also a single mom. She has a son. And she, like, reveals this very, very intense piece of her history, which I did not know because I'd never seen Jake's season. I imagine this was talked about, but her mother was murdered by her stepfather. I was really taken aback by that. I was like, that's a horrible thing to go through. Then from Matt's season, Matt, whose last name I don't know, because the only Matt that I know who is The Bachelor is Matt James, and Matt James, anyways, there's a woman named Holly. She was on Matt's season, and she dated Michael from Jillian's season, and he proposed, and she broke off the engagement. They got back together, and then eventually he ended it because it was too hard to be with somebody who broke off an engagement with him. Which was crazy. Like, there are so many people this season with, like, some kind of pre-existing relationship. There's Vienna and Jake, a former Bachelor couple. Like, they got engaged on The Bachelor, had a public breakup. They're back. She's with a new person. Holly and Michael, who neither ended up with their lead, then dated each other because, again, Bachelor Nation is very, it's a small world. They dated, they were engaged, they broke up. Now they're both on the season. Crazy, 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 crazy cast of characters. And I love that they brought Gia back. Like, they were like, Gia's a fan favorite. They brought her back. I loved it. Michael is on the season and he says it'll be hard for him if Holly is there. They arrive at the mansion, meet each other, greet each other. Vienna is upset about Gia's arrival. Casey then arrives and Vienna's feeling better because she at least has somebody. Justin, we find out, the wrestler, is enemies with specifically Casey and wants Casey gone as soon as possible. Gian ITM says that if anyone watched last season, they should know that people should be breaking up the couples. Michelle does not like Jackie. She's upset to see her. There's a lot of pre-existing beef, you know? There's not many people who are like, oh, I never saw your season. I don't know anything about you. Like, they all, I don't know, sometimes you'll watch Bachelor in Paradise and people will meet each other and they'll be like, I've never seen your season. There's like the beef runs deep on Bachelor Pad, okay? They have ex-fiancés up the wazoo. It's insane. Bring this show back. And you know what? It's for the money. They don't even need to be in a relationship. Bring back Nick Viall and Sean, whatever his last name is, Booth. No way his name is Booth. Like, Sean Wilkes Booth. Like, his name, obviously his name isn't Booth, but like, obviously if his name is Booth, it's not Sean Wilkes Booth. But like, I'm Googling this. No, his name is Booth. Maybe the guy who killed Abraham Lincoln, his name wasn't Sean Booth, was it? I know it was Booth, like Wilkes Booth. Anyways, no relation. No relation. I'm not accusing him of anything. I lost my train of thought. I'm so sorry. Oh, yeah. Okay. They have people with like pre-existing beef. They need cast Sean Booth and Nick Viall. I'm dead serious. Bring this show back and like have people with all this beef from past seasons. And you know what? What would be so amazing too is that because it's a competitive show where like the aim is money, you can easily have villains and it doesn't feel like that icky. Because when you have a villain on The Bachelor, it's like not fun. It's not fun because the purpose of, and obviously villains can be enjoyable and they're like, and there is a type of villain on The Bachelor where even if they're like a villain, it's not the same. But the villains in recent history, because it's so pure intentioned is like the premise, the villains have been like, you feel like you really, it's horrible. It's like, I'm not making any sense, but it's like the villains are just icky because when somebody is like, if they were to be opened about having poor intentions and being there to lead people on for the game, it would feel ickier because there's no prize money. This, when that happens on this show, does it still feel icky? Yes, but there's a level where they're able to say that in a way that they wouldn't. And I don't even know if honestly, if this show, if they brought it back in this era, if people would have the freedom to, just because of social media and how, like, I really think, and not to get on like a tangent, but I think social media and this new age of people wanting to become influencers, and I say this with genuinely no ill will. I have a podcast where I talk about television. It's not monetized, but like, would I love to make money from like talking for an hour a week? That would be great. I have a full-time job. It would be a nice supplemental income. Like, I have nothing against influencers or people who take opportunities they have and like utilize platforms they've been given to monetize. Like, I have no ill will towards that, but I think because of social media, even if somebody isn't necessarily like purely thinking of being an influencer, because someone's reputation can be so quickly like ruined and destroyed, and you can like just receive like a crazy amount of like hate, and like your life can be ruined so quickly, I think there's a lack of authenticity, and because people are just so guarded, even if they're not purposely being calculated, there's a level of awareness that most people have of like they don't want to be too like, you know what I mean? Anyways, I don't even know how I got on this tangent. I don't even know if like if this era, if the reason that people are being so honest about their intentions and hating each other and like beef, and then later people are very open about like leading each other on, I don't know if that would, if like if we would see that if they brought this back in this day and age just because of how much the culture has shifted, or if it would because of the nature of the show. But I don't know. I even think about like Big Brother, and there's so much talk on Big Brother now about like morality and like being a good person. And like, again, I've said this a million times when I'm talking about Big Brother, I'm not saying be like an obscene person to the people you're around. Treat people with kindness, of course. But the game of Big Brother, backstabbing, lying, betraying, is inherent to the fabric of the game, because in a regular situation, I'm not like cheering on if people get evicted. I'm not going to lie to a friend of mine if I was playing Big Brother. In the real world, you don't lie to a friend in order to take away monetary opportunities from them. If you did, you'd be a bad friend. If you do that on Big Brother, you're a good player, because Big Brother is not real life. The moral constructs are different. But even in a show like Big Brother, where lying and deceiving has been in the fabric of the game for as long as it's existed, there's a new kind of player which has become kind of like the For the Right Reasons player of doing things with their morals leading and like being a good person more than what would be a smart game move. And so like I don't know if this thing that I am enjoying so much in Bachelor Pad, if I'm like, oh, they need to bring the show back because it would be so good. I don't know if it could be recreated in the same way because of how much the culture has shifted. Anyways, didn't mean to go on that unnecessary tangent. Holly is starting to hope that Michael doesn't come because she is starting to like someone that she's talking to in the house and she doesn't want him to be there. Michael does arrive. It's awkward between them. Jake is the last to arrive, says that he wants closure for Vienna. We see Jake and Gia talk and he says he'll always love Vienna. He needs to resolve that first before doing anything else. I really don't like Jake. I'm sorry to say, I do not like the man. Jake tells Casey he supports them and wishes them the best. Casey says that what he has heard is not good and it upsets him to see Vienna upset. Then Chris Harrison comes in, tells them they're competing as couples in the first challenge. Blake and Kirk talk strategically about pairing up. Kirk has partnered up with Erica and he's not particularly like interested in her romantically. The interesting thing about Bachelor Pad, it's not like they pair up and like whoever they couple up with the first night, they're like locked into that, which I think is good. But anyways, Ames and Jackie are bonding, like romantically, they are interested in each other and they've been kind of pursuing that, but they decided not to partner up so they wouldn't be broken up. He is instead partnered with Michelle and Jackie is partnered with Jake. So for the first competition, the men are hanging from harnesses and the women have to hold on to their partner and the last couple to drop wins. Funny enough, on Big Brother 13, which was a couple season, they had a similar first comp for the first HOH. It wasn't like, because it wasn't men and women, it was like people of all, like two women were paired up. Obviously, like the couples that came into the house, well, not obviously because Dick and Daniel are not like a romantic couple, but like of the returnees, a majority, I think there were three returnees, Jeff and Jordan, Rachel, and then Dick and Danielle, I think. So I think there were only three. If there was a fourth returnee and I'm forgetting who they are, I'm so sorry. But two were couples and then one was a father-daughter duo. So in that case, it was like, but it's not the same. So it wasn't like the men hang and the women hold on to them. It was like, as a team, you both hold on to some kind of cylinder. I don't remember what it was in Big Brother 13. And the last couple to drop both people. So it wasn't like you both have to hang on. This was like if, anyways, I guess this was really just like whichever woman drops last because it was the men holding on to the women. Anyways, I just thought that was interesting. I'm like, they did something very similar to this. Will and Gia are paired up and he gives up. He gives up and she ends up falling at the 10-minute mark. Then Holly drops, Graham drops Allie, Melissa drops, Kirk drops Erica, and there are now only four couples left. Ella says that the pain she's experiencing is worse than childbirth. Ames and Michelle are then eliminated. The final three couples are Casey and Vienna, Jake and Jackie, and Justin and Ella. And then Ella drops, and now it's Jake and Vienna against each other, which was insane. Like, you couldn't script it. Vienna and Casey are the last couple to drop, and Jake and Jackie win. So he is safe from elimination, because if you win the competition, you get a rose, you're safe from elimination, and you get some kind of date. So he's safe from elimination, which is good because Jake is kind of on the outs. Vienna, interestingly enough, kind of has people rallied against her, which I think is honestly, I don't know why I said interestingly enough, because I think there's a difference in, it's just interesting how like public perception changes, because she was not a particularly liked contestant amongst her group of women, but then she was wronged so publicly that most of the people, even if they kind of like Jake, from, like, their instinct is to be wary of Jake and think that he's not, like, a good guy, and that Vienna is obviously the wronged party in that instance, and that he was, like, mean to her. So most of them at the beginning are very hesitant towards Jake and more on Vienna's side, and then things changed as they go on. But at first, it's very much like Jake is an easy person to send out. Vienna is upset that she and Casey lost. She says they made a promise not to fight on camera, and it's awkward and it's tense. And I'm not the biggest fan of the Vienna-Casey dynamic. I said this last season about Elizabeth and Kovacs, and while it doesn't feel like as Elizabeth and Kovacsian to me, because Elizabeth and Kovacs were very clearly to me, like, not interested in each other romantically at all. Like, it was like, okay, you guys don't actually like each other. Like, move on. Vienna and Casey clearly are in a relationship, and I do think they care for each other, and I do think that relationship is real. I just don't really like the dynamic, and I'm not saying that it's necessarily anything about them as a couple. I think Jake being there is, like, a lot of things, because I think Vienna's probably more on edge. Casey is more on edge. Like, I really don't think it's at its core, like, necessarily about what they're actually like in their real lives. I think this is a really fucked up environment that Vienna has kind of been thrust into. And I don't know. I don't really like Casey. He gives me bad vibes, but I don't want to comment on their relationship dynamic based off of this, because I can understand how being in this environment with your ex-fiance can heighten emotions and everything. So I'm not trying to comment on that. They did not end up together, so it's not like I'm, like, throwing dirt on a couple that's, like, still together. So for what it's worth, Vienna and Casey did not end up together. That I do know. Anyways, but even they made a promise not to fight on camera, it's, like, awkward. It's weird. It's, like, anyways. Gia says Jake winning is good for her because they're friends. Ames is bummed that Jackie's going on a date with Jake. The date card reveals that they get a third rose to give it out to the person they as a couple want to keep safe. So the dates are the couples go on dates, but each couple gets a third, or there's only one couple, sorry. Only one couple won this time. In the past, sometimes it's been like one man wins and one woman wins. This time, the couple, Jake and Jackie, won. They each have roses, and they as a couple get to pick one person to give a rose to, so there will be three people safe going into the rose ceremony. Casey establishes a final four, a core four is how he describes it, with him, Vienna, Michelle, and Graham. And then other people he wants to align with, kind of an onion alliance, if you will, if you're a fan of Big Brother, with Kirk, Erica, Holly, and Michael. He wants his core four to control things, but then obviously they have the rest as numbers, which was interesting to me. Graham goes to Michael and asks if he wants to align with Casey and co, and he agrees. Justin is kind of the swing vote. Justin realizes they need him, and he likes to be able to manipulate and play both sides, and he kind of likes that he has a level of power, which I really liked. Justin, like, such a fascinating player. Would I like to have him in my life as a human being? I don't know. Not really, because I think there's just a level of deception that feels less icky when the moral fabric of the show that you were on is not, because there's a difference between, like, leading somebody on or, like, lying to somebody when you're competing for money versus when the only goal of the show, yes, you're competing for roses, you're competing to end up with the person, but, like, you're competing for a relationship, you know? Like, there's a level that feels ickier when you're, like, deceiving and lying about being in a relationship purely to be on, like, I don't know, there's just a level where it feels weirder on the bat, like, grosser on The Bachelor to deceive people than it does on a competitive show. Again, there are limits, there are boundaries. I'm not saying, like, completely be horrible to people, but it's different. Like, he's so interesting to watch. Also, because what I was saying earlier, and then I went on this tangent, I feel like we don't have villains. Because they're competing for money, it feels less bad to have a villain in a way that, like, I haven't had a villain like this on a Bachelor franchise show, like, before this that I can really think of. Anyways, moving on. Like, even the quote-unquote villains that I root for are just people that I feel like are being misrepresented or misunderstood. It's not somebody who, like, is outwardly, like, on Big Brother, somebody being like, I'm gonna lie, I'm gonna cheat, I'm gonna steal. That is interesting to watch because they're playing a game, where if somebody does that on The Bachelor, it's not that interesting. The quote-unquote villains that I root for, the people who I feel get kind of misunderstood or misrepresented, or, like, it doesn't feel like what they're doing is actually bad. Like, they have good intentions. Anyways, Justin tells Gia and the others basically the game plan. He tells Allie that Graham is supposed to win her over, and that bothers her, so she confronts Graham. Jake and Jackie's date is in Hollywood. They're, like, walking down Hollywood Boulevard, and a girl cries when she sees Jake and takes a photo. They're at the Captain Hotel. Their name is Knights. Their date is out on the marquee. And Jackie asks him about Vienna, and Jackie suggests giving Vienna the rose as a peace offering. The next date, Jackie is freaking out and tells Jake to make the decision because she doesn't want to make the wrong move. So she just is like, you have the rose, you give the rose out, you make the decision. Justin doesn't think Jake should give Vienna the rose, tells him to talk to Gia about it. Jake says logically he thinks he should give it to Gia because she's an ally and she's in danger. But emotionally, he wants to give it to Vienna to prove he's not a bad guy. And Gia tells him that this is a stupid move, which is objectively true. Gia, honestly, I felt kind of bad for her this season because last season, it made somewhat of sense that she was kind of one of the odd people out from the beginning because she was the only person with a relationship, and season one felt very more like relationship focused, where from like episode one on season two, they're talking about like, okay, this is our group, we're gonna control the numbers. It's a lot more game focused than last season. Last season was kind of like, we're here to explore connections. Gia doesn't have this same connection. So like Gia's kind of like the odd woman out. This season, it really just felt like, I think there were a few factors. I think one of them was Vienna and Vienna's dislike for Gia. I think that colored a lot of people's view of Gia. And I also think Gia previously competing made her somewhat of a threat because she was the only returning player. I think some of them were like, Gia knows about the game. I don't know. But I honestly, of all the people to be on the app so soon, I don't understand why it was Gia. She seems lovely. There's no real isolating factor this time. She's not in a relationship. I don't understand why Gia is in danger this early, but I guess it's Vienna and Casey's game at this point. What can you do? Jake is, and this is kind of the first piece of evidence in my case that I'm building. I don't really think it's like something I really particularly need to argue. I feel like it's very obvious, but this is like one of the first examples I have of it being like, Jake does not care about playing the game. He is trying to sell this narrative of himself, and that's his main intention. Jake does end up giving the rose to Vienna and asks to speak to her and Casey. Gia is understandably upset that she didn't get the rose and that she's in danger of going home because of this. Jake apologizes to Vienna for yelling at her on TV. In ITM, she says it's torture. He wants to pretend to be a good person, etc. Again, just feeding into more points to my... The thing about Jake throughout, again, I only seen two episodes so far, but it feels very calculated. And like, I'm not saying, because not everybody's like that emotional of a person, but it just, I don't feel like he cares. I don't feel like he's genuinely sorry. There doesn't seem to be like a remorse or an upset or a, like, I genuinely want to give Gia this rose because I embarrassed her and she deserves to be here. Like, there doesn't, there's a lack of sincerity. It feels very odd. I don't believe him. I don't believe that he genuinely, I don't believe that if this wasn't a TV show, he wouldn't be trying to make amends with Gia. I think if Jake and Vienna were regular, I said with Gia, I meant with Vienna. I don't believe that if Jake and Vienna were regular ex-fiancés, he would care at all to make any kind of effort to mend that. I think it's the fact that it was perceived so publicly in a way that was so negative on him I think that's his main motivation. I really do not think he cares. But alas, Gia says in ITMs that giving Vienna the rose was stupid. That side already has a lot of power. And I agree. Vienna and Casey kind of, from the beginning, have a little... They're thinking strategically. They're building numbers. They have a lot of people on their side already. They didn't need the rose. Neither of them was going home. Like, it was purely... If Vienna was, like, on the outs and she was at risk of going home, maybe it would make more sense. But it was purely symbolic because Vienna had no worry of going home. She didn't have any votes against her. So it was just really, really stupid. But anyways, Gia decides to appeal to Casey. They agree to be in an alliance despite Vienna's beef with Gia. Vienna's side is voting Gia out. The big question, I guess, is will Casey vote to keep Gia or not? Like, will he do what is smart strategically, or what will he do what Vienna wants him to do? Justin says Ali is playing both sides. Gia's side is likely voting for Ali because of this. If Casey keeps his word, Gia may have a chance at staying because he does commit to not voting her out. Vienna's side of the girls are voting for Justin, because the girls vote to eliminate the guys and the guys vote to eliminate the girls. Blake proposes destroying Casey's alliance, tries to rally the votes. Jake tries to convince Gia to vote Casey off. She's still hurt that Jake gave Vienna the rose. The final two roses go to Casey and Gia. Justin and Ali are going home. Justin is very upset, says Casey didn't have Vienna's back because Casey didn't vote Gia out. He takes a rose as he's leaving. Justin, like, takes a rose from somebody. And he blames Ali and his limo exit for him being eliminated. Which, like, whatever. Episode 2. Casey says that everything is going according to plan. The most important thing to him is sending Jake home. Jake says people are starting to get to know him and realize he's not the jerk he was portrayed as. Jake wants to win because he wants the rose and to be able to slip through the next rose ceremony. Because if not, he may be going home. This competition was kind of weird, kind of interesting. The men line up, they all have targets painted on their back, and the women are asked a question, and they kind of give their opinion, and by giving their opinion, they throw an egg. If their egg breaks on the person they were intending it to, they get a point. So it's, like, interesting because you learn about what the other side is thinking of you, but also you have to be able to throw well to get the point. Like, it's, I don't know. Anyways, the first question is, who are you most attracted to? And the girls throw their eggs at the men they're most attracted to. I didn't write down who everybody threw an egg at because I don't really care. Gia gets a point, Melissa gets a point, Erica gets a point, and Jackie gets a point. Then the next question is, who least deserves the money? Which I thought was an interesting question. Jake in ITMs talks about feeling like the truth about his relationship with Vienna isn't known, and he's hopefully proving who he is, etc., etc. Vienna throws her egg at him and gets the point. Melissa and Jackie tie on the women's side, and the first tiebreaker question is, who is the dumbest? Jackie misses, and Melissa gets it. She was throwing to Graham. Now the women line up and the men are throwing. The first question is, who is most likely to cheat? Jake doesn't want to throw at Vienna, even though she did cheat on him, because it's a game. He says this in ITMs. Like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You're like, oh, I'm not going to throw it at Vienna, you know, because this is just a game and it's not personal. But she did cheat on me. Like, you know this is on TV. I do not like this man. She's blindfolded. She can't tell who's throwing eggs at her at any given moment, okay? Something that I thought was kind of cruel. Chris Harrison, even if you miss an egg, will say who it was aimed at. They don't say who's throwing the eggs, but they do tell you who it was aimed at, which is just mean. The next question, he does end up, I missed this. Jake does end up throwing after the whole, I'm not going to throw it at Vienna idea. He does throw it at Vienna and he does get the point. Michael also gets a point. Then the next question is, who do you want to go home? Many of the men throw at Erica. And we find out in ITMs that Jake got most of the eggs thrown at him for this question. Which, did we see that? I don't know why I'm asking the crowd as if... But, like, I don't know if I zoned out during that segment or I didn't take a note. But, like, I did not I don't think we saw the women get asked that question. I thought that was interesting. The third question is, who are you least attracted to? And Erica gets a lot thrown at her. And it made me really sad. Michael got all three. There were three questions and he got all three. So Jake needed it to win, but he missed. And so Michael won. And Chris Harrison tells them, as I said, who the intended target was. So Erica just had to hear, even though Jake missed, that he was aiming at her for least attractive. It made me sad for her. She does say in her ITMs, though. She's like kind of rude in the ITMs about how, like, she's naturally curvy and some of the women here have had plastic surgery. And then she says another woman weighs more than her or something. It's like, okay, Erica, you lost me a little bit on that one. I understand you were hurt, but let's not insult the other women because the men are assholes. Melissa and Michael each get a rose as they won. And they have dates. They get to bring people on and give roses on as well. So they're not going on one date. When it's not a couple rose, like if you compete as a couple, then that couple goes on the date. But if you compete individually, the men versus the women, then it's not a group. It's not one individual date. Jake knows he's at risk of going home, so he really wants to get a rose. Casey is happy seeing Jake fail. He's excited to be able to go to the boom boom room now that he doesn't have to worry about Jake staying. And I'm sorry, that is unbelievably, that's weird. That's weird. Like, I don't know. There's some weird tension with Casey. Like, why are you so obsessed with Jake? Like, it's not giving. It's really not. Like, the reason it rubs me the wrong way is it's not giving this person wrong, somebody I care about, and I'm mad at them for that reason. It's giving, like, a possessive jealousness, unhealthy. Like, I just don't like it. I don't like it. It doesn't. I've had people in my life, not a romantic partner, but I've had people in my life who have, like, hurt people I care about very deeply, and I would not like those people because of how they hurt the people that I care about. I would not be like, this is an odd way to talk about somebody, in my opinion. In my honest opinion. This is quite odd. Quite odd. Michael says he's glad he got the rose and has a date. He talks a little bit about his relationship with Holly and where he's at in terms of that. It was like hard for him because he says that as soon as he met Holly, like the first day he knew he wanted to marry her, it took him a year to ask and then she broke it off. But then very soon after was like, but I still want to be with you. And it was never the same. So he ended up breaking up with her. And he's obviously very sad about it still. And she's also very sad about it from what she talks about in her intro package. Like there are feelings there, not in the Vienna Jake, we hate each other's guts way, but in the kind of like, we cared about each other and it didn't work out. And that's painful way. Michael's date card arrives and it says, are you afraid of the dark? He gets to choose three people to go on the date. He chooses Erica because he feels bad about how he won because Erica got targeted a lot in that egg throwing competition. Michelle is the second choice because he hasn't gotten to know her enough yet. And then Holly is the third because they have a history. Michael going up, like leading up into the date, he says one of his biggest fears is haunted hospitals and insane asylums. So naturally, the date is at an abandoned insane asylum. And not only is it an abandoned insane asylum, it's one he's heard about. Like he read a book about this particular insane asylum. This dorm was once a madhouse. I made a joke, well, it's made for me. Me on this date, I'd be like, oh, it's made for me. Michelle doesn't think she deserves the rose. There's obviously still something between Michael and Holly, and she thinks Holly should get the rose. She asks Michael during their individual conversation about Holly. He's very honest with her. Michael does end up giving Holly the rose. The other two women go home, and Michael and Holly have a conversation. He says he is having a hard time because he just wants to be around her all the time. Like he sees her in a room and he just wants to be around her all the time. But it's like weird between them and it's just been hard for that reason. She says she still doesn't know why he broke up with her. And he says he doesn't know why she broke off the engagement and he couldn't get past her saying something's missing over and over. it didn't seem like something he could fix, like that the thing that was wrong was something he could fix. She says the timing was off. She says they were always best friends, and he's like, not to me, like we were more. It's a very real, very sad conversation about, like, and I think that's just life sometimes. Like, sometimes it's not like anybody did anything horrendously wrong, or like you hurt each other, or you were toxic, or sometimes it's just not right. And that's sad and that's hard, especially when you have so much love for a person, because it's just not right. And it doesn't mean that they did anything or you did anything, but it like, I don't know. It was really sad. It was really sad because obviously I'm not in the relationship. Obviously this is like an edited down, condensed, cut down for TV version of their story. But I don't know. It feels like to me, like they cared about each other very deeply. She was like, I don't think this is it. She broke off the engagement. And then she was like, but I don't want to lose him in my life. So she like went back, but like it was never the same because he didn't feel like he could ask her to marry him again. I don't know. It made me really sad, but it was also a very, I appreciated that it was included and that, I don't know. I appreciated it. In ITMs, he says the happiest he was with Holly was the day they got engaged. It's all really emotional. Kirk is kind of a colorful narrator. Explains the dynamics of the house, Holly and Michael's dynamic and their tension. Vienna and Casey think they're running the show. Ames and Jackie are a thing, and Jake is kind of scrambling because he knows he's a dead man walking. Melissa's date card then arrives. Jake hopes he'll get chosen. Blake wants to get chosen, says in ITMs he's heard Melissa is interested in him, and he has no interest, but he wants the money, so he's willing to let it play out. Like, again, horrible, horrible, but there's the freedom to say that on this show that you couldn't on a regular Bachelor show. Melissa picks Kirk, Casey, and Blake to go on the date. Melissa talks strategy with Casey and agrees that she'll give him the rose if he agrees to keep her safe the following week, and they kind of keep each other safe each week. Casey says in ITMs that Melissa can be expendable. So, like, she's good to use now for the safety, but she is expendable to him, basically. Blake in ITM says he'll flirt for the rose, even though she's not his type. The date is on a boat. None of the guys are really actually interested in her, and I felt kind of bad for her. Jake knows he would have gone last week. Then back at the mansion, they're kind of talking about the votes, and Jake knows he would have gone last week, is 90% sure he's going this week. Vienna has been campaigning to get him out. We see Vienna talking to the women about how she was treated like a possession, how, like, just not favorable things about her relationship with Jake. Jake decides that if he can't beat him, he should join them. So he decides he's gonna ask Vienna for help in order to stay. She rejects him. She won't even have a conversation with him. Gia feels bad for Jake, says Jake never said anything bad about Vienna, and she kind of stands up for him in a way. Blake does not trust Casey. Back on Melissa's date, Blake does not trust Casey because he tells everyone he's got their back, and he's like, obviously you don't have everybody's back. Blake thinks Casey is getting the rose for sure, and he wants to do everything he can to get it himself instead. He leads up to a kiss with Melissa despite having no interest in her, says he's whoring himself out in the ITMs. Casey knows the plan is for him to get the rose, and he wants her to stick to it. He's not feeling that worried, and Melissa gives Blake the rose. And, like, the thing is, I thought that was amazing. Like, I would be cheering it on if it didn't feel kind of icky to me, but it's also, like, he played well. Casey has this level of, like, arrogance and confidence that really, like, drives me absolutely insane, because it's, like, there's no working for it. He just thinks he's getting the rose because, well, that's what she's supposed to do. And I just don't like it. Blake, although his methods were kind of shitty, at least he put in the work to get the rose. I don't like him. I'm not like, I don't want him to win, but it's like, Casey is like, it's annoying to me because it's bad gameplay. Like, he's cocky and he's playing not the best. Casey says that Melissa giving Blake the rose is shady. He's hurt by the whole thing. And then Kirk and Casey leave the boat, and it's just Blake and Melissa. Blake in ITM says Casey is delusional for thinking of himself as the puppet master. Like, pack it up, Raven. From Big Brother 19. Sorry. And then he says, the guy carries as much clout as, you know, a gust of wind. And continues to say in his ITMs that he really has no interest for Melissa. But he's still flirting with her and, like, leading her on. Then the next day at the mansion, Gia is thinking very strategically. She says the way to win is targeting the power couples. So she goes to Graham. She appeals to him about targeting Vienne and Casey because they are the power couple right now. She even has notes. Like, she wrote out numbers, who's on whose side. She has tangible notes. And he says in ITMs that he can work with Gia. He tells her she may not be in as much danger as she thinks. And Gia, very much in ITMs now, is like, if I stay, I owe it all to Graham. Like, we were friends before. I'm glad that I have Graham to rely on. Holly and Blake begin to flirt. She's confused because of her dynamic with Michael and also because Blake kind of had a thing with Melissa. He very much says in ITMs that it was a tactic and he's not interested in Melissa at all. He likes Holly, but spending time with her is difficult with Melissa around. Melissa interrupts. She's very outwardly jealous. She is understandably upset because he's been intentionally leading her on and doing so for a check. Like, it would be one thing if people get, like, really emotional on even Paradise, where there's no money involved, there's no intentional gameplay. Sometimes you just kind of like somebody and you're not the best communicator. That's life on these dating shows. That's, like, different than, like, him literally in his ITMs being like, yeah, I'm literally kissing her because I want a rose. Like, being, like, admittedly manipulative and deceitful in his pursual of her and, like, leading her on. And then being like, she's crazy. Why is she, like, you're leading her on. Mr. I don't want to label you made me little miss unstable. I'm just saying. He calls Melissa unstable in ITMs. And I'm baffled. But alas, Jake knows he's likely going home. He came here to patch things up with Vienna. He saved her life in the game with that rose, and he wants to give her the opportunity to do something kind in return. Like, this is what I mean. This is what I mean. The way he's talking about it, he's like, I gave her this, so I'm gonna give her the opportunity to be a good person. Just the way I was just a good person. You're not doing it to be a good person. You weren't doing it. And again, she wasn't even in danger. It was a completely, like, throwaway rose. So it was just stupid and purely performative. Like, she wasn't going to go home anyway. Anyways, he goes up to Casey in Vienna and he asks them for help. Casey asks if he thinks he deserves to be here. And he says yes. And he's going to donate the money. And then Vienna says he's in $300,000 worth of debt. Casey says that he doesn't believe him. It's a very intense interaction. Ella in ITMs, who's witnessing this because they're doing this, like, in a group of people. Ella in ITM says she felt bad for Jake. Casey and Vienna can be hot-headed. Like, they are starting to rub people the wrong way. And this is what I think Jake's intention was. And I don't want to read into his intention because I'm not trying to psychoanalyze him, but it really feels like Jake knows that he upsets Vienna. Maybe he's not trying to upset her intentionally. Maybe it's not malicious, but I think his goal was not, I'm going to make amends, I'm sorry for the harm caused. He wanted to be on the show long enough to flip the narrative back to, or emphasize the narrative, because obviously he did have fans. He wanted the narrative that came across to be Vienna's crazy, Vienna's emotional, Jake is a good guy. Not just Jake is a good guy, he's sorry, he hurt Vienna, but he's sorry. It's Vienna was the problem in that relationship. Vienna was crazy. That's what he wants people to think. And so that's why it doesn't feel sincere to me, because I feel like even if I hurt somebody and I was like, they're crazy, which, I mean, I wouldn't, because I don't think that's like a... Have there been times where I've, like, hurt people where I've, like, maybe been a little annoyed and been like, they're being irrational? Maybe. Not that I can think of. But, like, I can imagine, I can put myself in those shoes where I'm like, okay, this is a little irrational. Why are they mad at me? But once the frustration died down, I don't really think that if I was genuinely sorry and I cared to make amends, I would be like, you know what I mean? It feels odd. It feels odd. The whole thing is fishy and I don't like it. Vienna and Casey kind of question Jake. It's actually kind of backfiring on them because people think they're being jerks. Like Ella previously, Kirk then in an ITM says that they are not being very nice and Jake's just trying to be a good guy. After that whole interaction ends, Vienna is really appreciative of Casey for how he stood up to Jake. She's like feeling really grateful and happy that she has a man like Casey in her life. Her words, not mine. There's a weird ITM of Casey where he's like, my tattoo is throbbing, and he like makes it move on his like arm. It's like it has a heart, and he says it's time that it throbbing means it's time to guard and protect. And then he pans to the camera and says, are you ready? And I got the ick. I was like vomiting. Like that was, I did not like that. Chris Harrison comes into, also I didn't mention this, last season Melissa was a co-host. It's just Chris Harrison this season. I really feel like we're missing something. I miss Melissa. What can I say? Chris Harrison comes in, asks the group how they are, and someone says it's awkward because of some tension between some people. And then Jake is like, you mean the tension between Jake, Vienna, and Casey? We're the ones making it awkward. Then Casey says it's about to get less awkward. And Chris asks Jake if he can let it go. And he says he has full closure. Vienna and him are over forever. And then Chris asks Vienna and Casey why they can't bury the hatchet and move on. And she says burying the hatchet doesn't make having your ex-fiance in the house less awkward. Then Holly makes like a joking gesture and Chris Harrison points out that Vienna and Jake are not the only ex-fiancés in the mansion. Holly and Michael are also ex-fiancés. Then Vienna says, and I wrote this down verbatim because I was gagged. She says, you guys already forced Jake and I to go on TV and do a national breakup in front of everyone. And I don't think it was appropriate for you guys to make us do this again. And I was gagged. Like, I know I already said that, but I was genuinely dying. Like, that's insane. That's insane. And then Chris Harrison is like, who's forcing you? You can leave anytime you want. Who's forcing you? It was kind of dystopian. It was kind of like, whoa, who's forcing you? Which, like, if you don't know, obviously they are not forcing you in, like, the, like, you have some level of free will. But when you are on The Bachelor, I don't know how different it is for, like, these kind of shows where you're, like, stuck in the same place or you're not, like, somewhere like, because it's, like, on The Bachelor, regular season of The Bachelor, and I think mostly, even the spinoffs, they have everything. You're part of a production. You do not have the autonomy to just walk out the door and leave. Could you go up to them and say, hey, I really want out? Yes. Should a good producer in this, like, in terms of, like, being a decent person and, like, obviously should producers of a show, if somebody really wants out, like, allow you to leave? Yes. But at the end of the day, there is a level of forcing you because they have all of your possessions. I don't know if they can, like, outright or I'm not trying to speak to, like, they never let you leave. They are forcing you. You are, like, I'm not commenting on that. But it's not that simple of, like, who's forcing you. They have everything. A lot of the times you're on The Bachelor, you're in a foreign country, they have your passport, they have your phone, they have anything you can possibly need to get somewhere else. Like, you have no every move you make goes through a production company most of the time. Like, it's not that simple. Are they forcing you in a certain sense? No, but, like, you don't just have free will. And, like, she signed on to the show and probably signed some kind of contract and then didn't know Jake was going to be on. It's not that simple. But she does say something about she didn't know that Jake was going to be here. Chris Harrison, again, it's like, nobody's forcing you. And then Chris Harrison reveals that the elimination is going to be a little bit different. Two people will be going home, but everything is about to change. Two women are going home. All of the men are safe. And I was like, it's rigged. It's rigged. like, do I think it was an interesting switch up and an interesting mechanism where it's like, oh no, all the men are safe. You can only vote women, especially because the men are voting women out, but the women also vote for another woman. So it's not just like, oh, only the men have votes. It's like for the first time in Bachelor Pad, the women are also voting out the women, which I thought was interesting. I enjoyed that. It was just really, and I don't think that I'm sure they had some level of plan of this, and it wasn't just to save Jake, but it really comes across, like, it's insane to have Vienna's whole, you guys are forcing us to do this fourth wall break, and then immediately be like, oh, by the way, Jake's staying because it's only women going home. Vienna naturally gets really, really upset. She says that they as a group should say they're not doing it because this is cheating. Casey's like, if you want to go, we can go. Like, he's being very much like, if you need to leave, we can leave. And she's very upset. Michelle basically tells Jake that he should just go, like, because he has no chance of winning anyway. So he should just, like, leave now. He's in a bad situation. He should just leave. And this upsets Gia. Because she's like, he could win the competition next week. Because Michelle's basically like, if you don't go home this week, you're going home next week. Like, just save yourself the time. It's not a good place for you. Leave now. And Gia's upset because she's like, who are you to tell him that? Like, he's still in the game. He can still win the competitions. Like, what are you saying? Then Casey approaches Gia and tells Gia she's going home. And that Graham went to him after their conversation and told Casey everything Gia said. Gia gets really upset because she felt like she put her trust in Graham. She's like, if I stay, it's because of Graham. And now Casey, this man who's in the power couple who she wants to target and also is coupled up with this woman who really hates her, is like, not only like, oh, I control, like, the way I really do not like Casey, and I understand I'm being judgmental, but I don't like Casey. And the way he talked, it was very much like this, like, level of arrogance and, like, I have the votes, like, you're going home. Like, you're going home, we have the votes, you're toast. And, like, and then on top of, like, it was the way he spoke to her, that she was basically like a dead girl walking. There was no point in trying, like, they had the votes. And then compounded by the fact that she put her trust in somebody and then was betrayed. Like, she was really upset. She confronts Graham and he admits that he said that she wanted to go after the power couple. She gets really upset. She says she's going to leave. And she does end up self-eliminating. She changes out of her gown. She gets her bags and she decides to leave. She says she wasn't made for the game, for this game. She's tired of all the deception. I love Gia. I'm a fan of Gia. I had never watched anything of hers, like either any of the seasons she had been on before Bachelor Pad season one. And like, I really enjoyed watching Gia. She seemed like such a ray of light. Gia's exit is talked about, and this kind of pissed me off, and it was like a minor thing, but like, and somebody says like Gia went home, like she was upset, something about Casey and Graham like going after her together or something. And then Vienna in the background, you can hear her be like, Casey and Graham haven't been together at all tonight. Like, what are you talking about? And it really bothered me because it was like, and then it was intercut with Gia's like limo exit where she's like crying and talking about how Casey spoke to her and how she just couldn't be part of like that dynamic. And it took her back to high school and she like really didn't want to be there. Gia says the only thing that Casey is guarding and protecting is himself. And the men say that she was the schemer. She was the schemer. She was the one who got all emotional. They all throw it on her. She was just crazy and emotional. And did she get emotional and have like a very emotional response to like a game move? Yes, but also like I just did not like the way they were like, she's the schemer, because it's like, no, Casey is a schemer. If anybody is a schemer, it's Casey. Like, he's literally trying to maneuver the whole thing so everything goes according to his plan. What do you mean? Like, she wasn't a schemer by trying to make some kind of alliance to stay in the game. If she's a schemer, then what are you guys? Erica says people are voting Jackie, but she's personally voting Ella because Ella is a good competitor and Ella could use the money. So she's like more in it than
some of the other women are.
Erica tells the men that the women are voting Ella, which I thought was interesting because that was not what I thought. Like, it felt, and I don't know if this was accurate, but it felt like she was like, most people aren't voting for Ella. And then she just told the men, oh, they're voting for Ella, so they would want to vote for Ella, even though that wasn't the consensus. I don't know if that was cut out, like cut weirdly. And it was like, there were people who were voting Ella and the men were like, who are these people voting for? And she said Ella, but it made it seem like she in ITMs was like, most people are voting Jackie, but I'm voting Ella because she is the better person to get out. And then immediately followed by telling people, everybody's voting Ella, you should vote Ella. I really liked it. I'm a fan of Erica, despite the mean ITM. Blake tells Ella that because it's not couple, she's in danger because people don't want to break up Ames and Jackie's budding romance if they're not like sending them home as a couple. Because like, obviously, no, they're not going to, they can't vote off a man, so they are going to have to, like, if they vote Jackie off, then Jackie's going home alone. Whereas in another instance, if they could vote, like, a couple together, then they could send Jackie and Ames home together. And they can't because it's just women. Ella, when she hears that she's in danger, immediately goes into game mode. She pulls to talk to him individually because he says this kind of in a group of people. And he says she's more of a threat. Because she's like, am I really like more of a threat than Jackie? And he's like, yeah, you are more of a threat than Jackie. So then she immediately begins to campaign. Kirk asks Michael and Graham to keep Ella. Ella kind of appeals to Kirk, and like then Kirk appeals to Michael and Graham, is like, we should keep Ella. And they agree it's better to keep Ella. They just need to convince Casey and Vienna, because Casey and Vienna hold a lot of power for some stupid reason that is unclear to me. Ames hopes Vienna and Casey remain true about keeping Jackie because they had previously promised him that they were keeping Jackie safe this week. Michael appeals to them to keep Ella instead of Jackie, and Melissa agrees she wants Jackie to stay. And then there's a mini fight between Melissa and Blake, and he once again calls her crazy in ITMs, and it felt very, very odd. The roses in order. Melissa already had a rose, and all the men get roses. The roses in order, it's only women getting roses. Vienna gets a rose, then Michelle gets a rose, Erica gets a rose, and the last rose goes to Ella, which means Jackie is going home. Casey and Vienna did not stay true to their word, but it's interesting to me because I feel like the little hints I'm getting in editing of people starting to be like wary of Vienna and Casey, I feel like it's planting some kind of seed for them to like lose power. I do not see them winning. I think they're starting to rub people the wrong way. Like, they're getting HOH-itis. Jackie's going home and Ames is emotional. They kiss goodbye and then he decides to join her. And it's really sweet. And I don't know if they lasted. I'm going to not look up any spoilers on the couple's like relationships and dynamics until the reunion, because I don't want to like look it up and then have it in the reunion they revealed that they're not together anymore. So after the reunion, I'll look up stuff that like, you know, or not the reunion, but the finale, they do like they come back months after they finished filming. So that's where episode 2 ends. I was sad to see Gia go, but I'm glad she did it in her own way, and obviously she was not happy there, and I'm glad that she stepped away if it was not serving her, but I was sad to see Gia go. Right now I don't know who I'm rooting for. I do not want Casey and Vienna to win, not because I'm a Jake fan. I'm not a fan of Jake at all, and I do, if I had to side with anybody in that breakup, it would be Vienna. It's not because of that. It's just I really don't like Casey and I don't want him to win. That's just my take. I have no idea who wins this season. I do. I have a spoiler for who wins season 3, but I have no idea who. Although I honestly don't remember his name. I just remember how he wins. Because at the end, you either keep or share. And like, anyways, So, but I have no idea who gets to the finals. I kind of hope it's not Casey and Vienna. I want somebody to just like surprise me. I don't know who I'm rooting for. I have to be honest. I really like Erica. I would want Erica to win, but I don't think she's going to. Like, unfortunately, I think the couples win, and I just don't know who she would pair up with that would get her somewhere. I like Holly. I like Michael. Like, I have nothing against them. Erica's my favorite, and I would want her to win, but I don't know if she's going to. I don't particularly care about Melissa. I don't dislike her. I don't care for her. I don't want Blake to win. I don't really know who I'm rooting for right now. I have no real stake in the game except for the fact that I really enjoy watching Erica. Like, I really, like, part of me wants to watch Lorenzo's season just for Erica because I like her that much as a character on my TV screen. Like, she's a delight. Love her. But I don't know if she's going to win because I feel like she's not strong enough in a couple. But I do like the way she thinks strategically, and I do really enjoy her. But I don't know. That's the main person I'm rooting for. Do I think she's going to win? I fear not. I feel like Casey and Vienna, right now, they seem like they're the couple that's going to get to the end. But I really don't want them to because it feels like it would be kind of predictable. So I don't know. I'm excited for the rest of my coverage. I will be doing a Sex Lives of College Girls Season 3 deep dive recap once all of Season 3 is over. I'll go episode by episode and share my thoughts then that way, just because I feel like that'll be better than me just like every week talking about what happened. So that's the plan for right now. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you are enjoying this as much as I am, and you'll hear from me next week. Bye.